The computer is semi-functional here. So here is the announcement of Carly Fiorina. It's just a terrible choice for Ted Cruz, whose campaign is already, he's got a priest in there. He's got a minister, whatever. They already put the paddles on the chest. They didn't work. The campaign is dead. And then they named Carly Fiorina, who has limited amount of appeal, as the vice president. Why? That's got to be like, you know, you have a bad day, so you go get the Pringles. You know, or you go to, you drive over to McDonald's and just get four orders of fries or something. It's pure comfort food. What does this lady bring to the equation? She is a very doctrinaire. She sounds like a school marm. She's always, hectoring people and talking, chastising them. She hasn't had any wins. She has one delegate. How she got even one delegate is a mystery, but she brings... Ted Cruz chooses somebody who can bring one delegate to his campaign. That is a miracle. He might as well have chosen somebody from outside of the political process, Anyway, check it out.
Time and thought. After a great deal of consideration and prayer, I have come to the conclusion that if I am nominated to be president of the United States, that I will run on a ticket with my vice presidential nominee, Carly Fiorina. Kara Carlton Fiorina, known throughout the country simply by the name of Carly.
If anybody knows her at all,
is an extraordinary leader. She started working as a secretary at a small firm. And she climbed the corporate ladder to become the CEO of the largest technology company in the world. And the first female CEO in history of a Fortune 20 company.
Gross. Carly Fiorina, dog meat. What a choice. All right, so... Anyway, yeah, it's just, I don't know, where does this guy come from? So anyway, here's Carly Fiorina. We just heard Ted Cruz's opinion of Carly Fiorina. Here's Carly's opinion of Ted Cruz coming up in just a second. There's a lot of Steve Pierce ads out there. I've got Steve Pierce's opponent coming on next week, Mrs. Souls. Gotta have souls. All right, here's a little bit on Carly Fiorina.
Radio host in Iowa, now apologizing after getting major pushback on social media and from his wife for a sexist tweet he sent out during last night's debate, mocking Republican presidential candidate Carly Fiorina as going, quote, full V word in her opening remarks. Carly Fiorina is here. She's the former CEO of Hewlett Packard. Carly, good to see you. So, I guess you have to blow this off.
Carly Fiorina looks like a character from Peanuts, doesn't she? Peppermint Patty.
You have to act like this doesn't bother you. I'm sorry to even ask you to respond to this, but it's like over and over people take these sexist shots at you.
Well, I've been called the B word, so now I guess I'm going to be called the V word. What's amazing to me is I told an American story last night in my opening comments. I told my story, just like every other candidate has told their story. Mm-hmm. So it's inexplicable to me why this major surrogate of Ted Cruz thought that was playing the V card. But the more important point is this. This gentleman is more than a radio show talk host. He is a major surrogate for Ted Cruz and a major endorser. And this is why Ted Cruz cannot possibly beat Hillary Clinton.
Well, because, is he responsible for everything his surrogates say?
Well, this is a major member of Ted Cruz's campaign.
A major member. What a symbolic phrase there. All right. So Carly Peppermint Patty Fiorina, bad choice, Ted, bad choice. Comfort food. Cruz is going for the comfort food. He's going to have a bimbo eruption up here. And all right. So Fiorina now has changed her mind. She wants to be the vice president of a guy who can never beat Hillary because he has bad surrogates. Fiorina says Kasich should drop out of the race. That's true, but not because Carly Fiorino says so.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Mark?
I'm doing very well. I watched your speech. I watched Senator Cruz's speech. Let me ask you this. The listeners out there, you know, there's this constant attack that Ted Cruz ought to give it up. That Ted Cruz ought to give it up because there's no mathematical way to the convention, even though Trump doesn't have 1237. What is your response to that?
Well, you know, the media has wanted everybody to lie down and give this up for months now. They just kind of want it to be the Trump-Clinton show. And maybe that's because Trump and Clinton are, two peas in the same pod, two sides of the same coin, and Clinton's going to beat Trump. But it isn't over until the voters say it's over, and it's certainly not over until somebody gets to 1,237 delegates. And Trump isn't there yet, and he's not going to get there.
Well, here's the odd thing. I mean, I'm watching TV a little bit, and I'm trying not to. But I'm watching a little bit of TV, and they go on, this is an unorthodox move. This is unconventional. This is desperation. And I'm thinking, are they talking about Bobby Knight with Trump? Are they talking about you and Cruz?
Yeah. Well, hey, look, let's face it. Everything about this election has been unprecedented. Everything about this election has been unorthodox. Ted Cruz and I want the American people, the people who haven't yet voted in particular, to understand what's at stake and to understand the choice they have in front of them. What's at stake are our jobs, our prosperity, our opportunity, our potential. What's at stake are our liberties. What's at stake is our security. And the choice is Ted Cruz and Carly Fiorina or Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, because Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton are two sides of the same coin.
Now, what do you say to people who say, look, I want an outsider. I want somebody who's not establishment. Let me ask it this way. Have you ever made campaign donations to Harry?
Who cares what Carly Fiorino says? I got to say that right there. Nobody is listening. She was at her best. I'll give her this. She was at her best when she was on the stage and debating. But, I mean, that's her only goal, her only gift, her only, you know. So Ted Cruz, that's a dumb choice. And there are literally tens of thousands of people that he could have chosen for this. I think there was something that happened between him and Carly Fiorino, and she ended up getting paid $500,000. And they say it's because she was able to step on the bimbo eruptions. You know what I mean? And so, I don't know what else to say about that, but the fact of the matter is, that there is, no other way to describe this but a mistake. Carly Fiorino is not an exciting candidate, and she's not interesting to listen to. This is just all my opinion. Maybe I'm mistaken, I don't buy into where she's coming from, and she flamed out very early. Why doesn't he go get Marco Rubio? If Ted Cruz is a leader, Marco Rubio is an extremely attractive candidate. He got more delegates than John Kasich did. Why not go get him? I mean, the guy's there. He obviously is interested, but I think part of it is seen as a death cruise. You know, it's a ship of fools sailing into the mouth of an open volcano. Anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 626. Pardon me if I stepped on your toes, the one or two or three Carly Fiorino fans in the Valley. But you're listening to AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523, 1450. I think I got the text machine in my car. In the meantime, we're saluting the new program, the new Dona Ana program, that is getting cars into the hands of county employees without any cost. And we've got to celebrate that kind of innovation. We'll be right back at 6:27 on the button on the 28th of April. Oh, and we do have a phone call. Somebody's awake out there. Good morning to you.
Good morning. I think you're being a little too hard on Carly and Cruz.
All right, go ahead. Fill me in.
I believe they're both true conservatives, and That is the reason that Cruz chose her.
Well, what about this?
He sincerely believes that she is.
Who is this, by the way? First name?
David.
David, let me ask you this. What is this weird thing that happened between Ted Cruz and Carly where he pays her $500,000 and then she shows up at a campaign event and says, I will not allow my anointed Ted Cruz to answer any questions about bimbo eruptions, about these so-called five girlfriends?
No, you do have a point there. I'll give you that.
But what did
I'm
he
just
get?
Saying, I believe you're a little too hard on him.
Okay, I'm too hard on him. All right, but why?
Well, thank you.
Wait, David, why $500,000? What was the payment for? All right. Thank you for the call, David. Good call. All right. So we'll be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 6:28. We'll be right back on the 28th of April. All right, so 6:30, and maybe I'm being too hard on Carly, but then again, maybe I'm not. Dog meat. How is she a true conservative? Maybe she is. Maybe I never gave her the time, you know what I'm saying, the time of day. But Carly Fiorino is a bad choice. She's comfort food for Ted Cruz, and she is filling a mother role for him, isn't she? Maybe she's the sixth girlfriend, who knows, but it just strikes me as a comfort decision, you know? So, all right, so, okay, so there's some news out there that you might find interesting, and the news is that they say that Prince, a couple of different news organizations, one of which is the Inquirer, fair enough, there was another one, not San Diego, but one of those little California communities. Also, the local paper, a story on Prince dying of AIDS, believe it or not. Now, what was the argument for that? Well, number one, you remember when they said that he was flying along and he had flu symptoms and had to turn around, but he ended up getting a Narcan shot, which is a shot that wipes out all the opium in your system? He had flu-like symptoms and had been suffering for a while. All right, number one, that's one argument. Number two, he's dead. Number three, they say, AIDS is the fatal killer. And the third thing is that he was in this religion, the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they don't now this is interesting. They don't allow people to get blood transfusions. And the reason is, in the Old Testament, it says, thou shalt not consume blood. It should not eat an animal with the blood in it, because that's a life force. I wouldn't think there would be any application whatsoever from that to, the medical procedures or whatever. But they do feel that way. So supposedly, he didn't get his hips replaced because he would have had to have blood transfusions. And that he was... then in constant pain, he had to have a lot more of these fentanyl and Percocet and Dilaudid, which is supposedly what killed him. But now the information is that he was going to church and was confronted or encouraged by some of the other Jehovah's Witnesses to not get not take any more AIDS drugs, Pro-T's or whatever the drug is, so that he began to develop more full-blown symptoms And while it hasn't been proven, the Inquirer, the last story that they came up with somebody with AIDS was Charlie Sheen, and he turned out to have AIDS. The Inquirer actually has a pretty good record in terms of breaking stories. The fourth reason I think it's credible is they immediately cremated his body, which I found to be really strange. Why did they did an autopsy? Why does his body have to be immediately cremated? Just asking. And the Jehovah's Witnesses believe, I don't know what they believe about reincarnation, but I do know they believe that the earth is going to be redone and people are going to be coming back and, you know, one arm on a lion, the other arm on a lamb, you know, kind of a thing. Peace will reign. So I thought it was kind of interesting. All right. So 523-1450, and I got to still go grab my texter. All right. I do have related to Cruz. Now, look, I am interested. Do you think that it's possible that God called Ted Cruz to run and then Ted Cruz screwed it up? You know, or he could still be president, right? They could still have a contested convention. Did they call Ted Cruz? Did God call Ted Cruz to run and Ted screwed it up, or he was supposed to go through the experience of losing and become humble? And yeah, you know, there's a couple of different ways to spin this thing. You think Ted was mistaken? You think he made a misstep? He did something that, you know, God didn't want him to do. Don't have a bimbo eruption. Don't lie, Ted. Maybe that's a lesson here. I don't really dislike Ted Cruz, by the way. I might pound on him, but sometimes you go after the people that you most identify with because you feel more, I don't know. It's kind of this proverbial thing where you only hurt the ones you love not that I love the guy. I think he's got profound problems, but a certain number of things of his that I agree with probably more than just about any other candidate, but he never really said what his law would look like or anything like that. And I certainly don't, this idea of bringing in Old Testament law and then killing people with it is crazy. Absolutely crazy. All right. So here's Glenn Beck Watch. We'll come back and do that. We got to get some more dedication to the new county policy. Free cars for the elites. 6:36 AM Las Cruces, 1450 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. And it's on the 28th of April. We'll be right back. All right, so I've got this story that I wanted to get into on opioid use, speaking of Prince, around the country. We do have Ben Rawson coming on in a few minutes, so we'll have to get into that. But here is Glenn Beck with another amazing prophecy. Does Glenn Beck and does Ted Cruz and Glenn Beck believe in the same God? If not, are they in a divine co-op or what's going on here? Anyway, here's Glenn Beck, the prophet of America.
Hear me, Cruz supporters, hear me. You have a chance. The election will hinge on you. If you don't get out in force, and let me say this to everybody. I know these campaigns. I know the Cruz campaign, and I have not talked to anybody about this. I just know the Cruz campaign, and as all of them are struggling. Even I think Hillary is struggling for cash outside of the big donors. The Republicans don't have any of the big donors. They don't have the Kochs. They don't have Sheldon Adelson. They don't have any of the big donors. They're all sitting on the sidelines. This is truly a grassroots election, and people are not willing to step up and put their money where their mouth is. Our lives, our fortunes, our sacred honor. Now, I happen to be a Cruz supporter, so let me just say TedCruz.org, TedCruz.org, TedCruz.org. But you've got to get out and vote if you're in that state. You have to get out anywhere you are. And guys, if you believe like I do, you know the republic is at stake. This is the moment. This is the moment. If we drop it at this moment, we lose. And let me tell you something. You lose freedom for all mankind. I'm convinced of it. This is the moment. Don't be.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Next week, it'll be the universe is going to blow up if we don't choose Ted Cruz.
Be on the side.
I got to hear that again. We're going to lose freedom for all mankind, and I would assume womankind, if we don't choose Ted Cruz. Check it out, according to Glenn Beck.
All mankind, I'm convinced of it.
Oops.
Drop it at this moment. We lose. And let me tell you something. You lose freedom for all mankind. I'm convinced of it. This is the...
This guy makes the craziest statements.
Moment. Don't be on the sidelines. Don't be discouraged. We told you 2 weeks ago. This is what it's going to feel like. Now, don't let the media talk you out of it. Indiana should go strongly for Cruz because he reflects their values and he's done very well. If those poll numbers change, it's only because people want to be with a winner. The winner with your principles you already had. So get out and help. If you can donate, if you can donate your time.
Yeah, the winner with principles you already had, Ted Cruz. And by the way, if you don't vote for him, the blood's on your hand. All mankind will lose freedom. This sounds like a really bad sci-fi movie. All right, so let's take a little break here, and then I'm going to come back and tell you about this amazing heroin epidemic that's sweeping the country. It's really a huge deal, almost as big as not voting for Ted Cruz and losing all freedom for humanity. We will be right back. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450. 805-6180 to text. We'll be right back. All right, some facts for you. Facts. We're talking facts here, not FAX, but FACTS. Donald Trump, the most votes in history for a GOP candidate up to this point. Isn't that amazing? And he's going to get millions more. So those of you who claim that he's not a person of the party. He's an, you know, it's just a kind of a freak event. There's millions and millions and millions of people out there more than ever who support Donald Trump. That's all there is to it. Now you can make of that what you will. In the meantime, the GDP 0.5% growth. Remember, you need 3% GDP growth, gross domestic product, to replace jobs, to create and replace jobs. To grow jobs, you need more than 3%. We are 1/6 of what we need to replace jobs, while a lot of illegal people pour into the country and the government is doing everything it can to relocate them and give them jobs or give them welfare. Business investment weakest since the Great Recession. Now, ICE released 20,000 criminal illegals. Arrests have been cut in half of those. That's the president that you have. Does he care about you? Oh, you bet he does. Of course he does. Why else would he release hundreds of thousands of illegal felons over the last few years and just let them go in America? Of course he cares about you. Don't be silly. Heroin epidemic kills at least 23 Ohioans each week. And this is from the CBS News. Should we treat heroin as a medical or a legal problem? That's the question that CBS News is asking. It's a good question. Drug courts have been known to deal with the issue, but some people don't want, they don't want to have to treat as a societal problem, something they see as just mere law enforcement. So we've got, and I'll just sum up for you what one of the things that an article in the Atlantic Monthly stated is that there was a time going back, I don't know, 10 or 20 years when pain management was a huge topic across the United States in medical practices. And they wanted to figure out, you know, how to treat pain. So they gave out a lot of pills more easily. The practice changed to a certain extent. And then they started to see that this was also its own problem. So they started to crack down on it. And because of this, and this is the analysis from the Atlantic Monthly, which is a heck of a publication, that these people transitioning out of these easy pills then moved into things like heroin. And so, but you've got it across the United States, people shooting up. And so I thought I would just cast a little bit of light on it. But there's a number of articles out there that are brand new. I got to get some statistics. In the meantime, let me play you a little bit of a, the New York Times has done. All right. So here are some statistics from the New York Times. 39% sharp rise in heroin-related deaths, 39% increase, 90% increase of first-time heroin users. Oh, pardon me. Let's backtrack this. 39% sharp rise in heroin-related deaths are up 40%. 90% of first-time heroin users are white. 75% of heroin addicts use prescription opioids before turning to heroin. That's the pill problem I was telling you about. 325 opioid-related deaths in New Hampshire last year, $33 million in federal funds to combat the epidemic. Although I just saw an article yesterday talking about how they're planning to put a lot more money into it. 71 new cases of HIV reported in Indiana, 50% increase in Mexico's opium production last year. And so these are just some of the statistics to give you an idea. And here's a little clip on this from Fox News.
Hello, welcome to Health Talk. I'm Dr. Manny. The CDC reports between 2003 and 2013, there has been a 286% increase in heroin-related deaths. The increases are among unlikely groups like privately insured high-income women. So what is behind the sharp uptick, and can we reverse the tide? Here to discuss is the medical director of Summit Behavioral Health, Dr. Elizabeth Andrew. Welcome.
Thank you.
So explain to me the epidemic of heroin abuse that we have in this country.
Well, what we think happened is there was a period in the late 90s where physicians were instructed to make sure they were evaluating and treating everybody's pain appropriately. And we had the fifth vital sign, which was you had to measure pain. So doctors became very vigilant then about diagnosing pain and prescribing pain medication. And you can see a huge uptick of the amount of opiate prescriptions after that. So patients would come in with a headache, they'd get a prescription for Oxy, and then over time, they might be misusing that, and so they would be cut back. And unfortunately, they were already struggling with their addiction, and they would turn to something that was cheaper and more easy to acquire, which unfortunately is heroin.
Let's talk about the people at risk. I said in the intro that a lot of the people are what you would call, you know, you would not assume that they would develop a drug problem.
Right.
So who is at risk?
Anybody,
right.
Anybody can be at risk. I mean, it can be in practice. We see soccer moms, we see professionals, we see teachers, we see young college students and high school students. Anybody can develop an addiction to an opiate.
So, you know, for people that are, you know, people say, you know, it's how could you become addicted to a pill? You know, so
this is this guy is not much on the interview skills, but how can anybody get addicted to a pill? What is he talking about? A little bit of information on New Mexico drug use, multi-generational drug use. Between 1992 and 2013, New Mexico occupied the top spot for drug overdose deaths nationwide. Unbelievable. And that's why it was great that Breaking Bad was filmed here, with the exception of only 3 years. In 2013, New Mexico had a drug overdose rate of about 22 per 100,000, behind only West Virginia and Kentucky. And New Mexico Department of Health says 135 people died of a heroin overdose in 2013, combined with prescription opiate abuse, accounted for the vast majority of the state's 458 drug-related overdose deaths. And according to the New Mexico Department of Health, the rate of heroin overdose deaths among state residents was 7 per 100,000 in 2013, three times the national average. Areas are getting hit harder than others. The city of Espanola, 30 miles north of Santa Fe, has seen drug-related deaths reach a rate of 42 per 100,000. That's amazing. And other towns in the county added into the equation, 62 per 100,000. That's just really amazing. So, and they're finding that there is, it's not just use. The drug cartels are now coming after New Mexico, residents. And so we've got here's a little bit on the cartel coming after Albuquerque teens.
People are using it. Assuming it's Albuquerque the same thing.
And hold on just a second here. Here is on the cartel coming after Albuquerque teens.
And everybody to accept that this is a disease and that people can.
All right. So anyway, I'll get you this clip in just a second. But I've got, there's another report, April 25th, 2016. Police arrest man accused of shooting heroin with child in car. So desperate times. But here's the cartel coming after Albuquerque teens. KOAT.
Agent says Albuquerque's heroin problem is out of control and getting worse. What's even more frightening is he says drug cartels are getting smarter, marketing their deadly high to kids with money. Action 7's Nick Arroyo Day has a terrifying special report every parent should see.
It's in every high school. Albuquerque has a large heroin problem, one of the largest that I've encountered.
That's because the face of heroin is changing. It's not just back alley junkies anymore. It has a new set of victims, high school students.
Mexican cartels are capitalists. They're going to make money. And so they've seen this explosion in young people in the Albuquerque area and the suburbs and the Heights as a business opportunity. So they've made the heroin more available.
As the cartels sink their claws into affluent areas, they're finding repeat customers with steady cash flow.
At one point, it got really bad, and I started taking Dad's debit card, and I was just taking money from it, and he never knew.
Thomas Griffin got hooked at 16 while attending La Cueva High School. He says his story proves heroin is closer than you want to believe.
In every high school, I guarantee you, there is a group of students who are hooked on heroin, and that is slowly going to grow.
These are the new faces of heroin. Good kids becoming slaves to this highly addictive, destructive drug, some dying from it. New Mexico high schoolers are twice as likely to try this stuff than their peers in other states. Assistant Special Agent in Charge Keith Brown has been with the Drug Enforcement Agency for almost 20 years. He's never seen heroin as infectious as it is here among teens.
It is the city of Albuquerque's biggest drug problem.
Part of the change is in the heroin itself. Now it's more likely to be smoked than injected. That's very important because kids who would never think of sticking a needle in their arm have no problem smoking.
And it's more not as big a deal to try that first time.
Our kids don't start out by using heroin. Every person we interviewed for this story spoke of the same pattern. The path heroin begins right here.
Don't worry about the prescription drugs, because that's where your kids are going to start. Heroin's where it ends. I went to La Cueva High School, and that was the most prevalent thing was prescription medication.
Keep those medicine cabinets locked up.
The Help a Hut helps run ASAP, or Addictions and Substance Abuse Programs at UNM. He says two-thirds of the pills kids pop come from home. That source eventually runs dry, but the craving is continuing.
Amazingly enough, heroin is cheaper and more readily available in our community. So they go on prescription opiates to heroin. It's an unfortunate truth that
probably a lot of kids know somebody that could give them heroin if they want.
All right. So there's one more story I'll throw in here from the Albuquerque Journal. April 24th, 2016 is 4 days ago. Awash in Mexican heroin is the title of the article, and you should look it up. Mexican poppy cultivation way up. It's doubled or tripled almost since 2011. And the production is up from a level of 30 to 70. It's over twice as big deaths due to heroin skyrocketing, and the price of heroin has gone way down. Thanks for listening into the first hour. We got Ben Ross in here, and we'll be right back to find out what's going on in the county. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. We'll be right back. So anyway, Kelly here, and we've got the we've got Ben Rossin here. And so anyway, so just to sum up, we got a very serious heroin problem in this state. And so we need to, I guess, do something about it. Either that or do another show on drug abuse. Breaking Bad Part 2. All right. Good morning, Ben. How's it going?
Good morning, Kelly. It's going great. I'm glad to be back on the show with you this morning.
It's wonderful to have you on here. As always, it's been a while. It's been too long.
It has indeed. We need to get back doing this regularly.
You going
to
sponsor the show again?
I think so. Let's
All
get
right,
that
folks.
Going.
You heard that. He's a hard-nosed businessman, but he's going to sponsor the show. All right. So, have you heard my week-long dedication to cars?
Dedication to cars. I have heard a little bit of that, Kelly.
Yeah. Okay. So there's this crazy calls that I got that claimed that Julia Brown had commandeered the ride from Jess Williams. She had taken his car and wouldn't give it back. Any comment?
Well, you know, Kelly, I have talked to Jess Williams about that. I understand that he lent it to her of his own free will. You know, if someone wants to lend someone their car, so be it. That being said, Kelly, I'm not sure. In fact, I'm quite sure that I would not borrow one of my employees' vehicles at my place of business,
I'm
at
sure,
Rossin Builder Supply.
I'm sure that you wouldn't. I'm sure that you wouldn't. Maybe they're dating.
I don't think so, Kelly.
Okay. All right, there goes one more rumor to get shot down.
Yeah, I don't think so.
It's rumor hunting season, and we just shot down another one.
Well, you know, it's always good to shoot those down, that's for sure, Kelly.
Can't argue with that.
Put a little levity into it.
Yeah, as long as it's not the levity of the Pharisees. But speaking of Ted Cruz,
you're on a roll this morning, Kelly.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Hopefully it's a cinnamon roll. What's going on? It's been a while, and I'm sure you have a lot of things to report.
You know, Kelly, I figured that the biggest thing to talk about was the county commission meeting from 2 days ago. It was the longest county commission meeting that we've had in quite some time. We started at 9 o'clock, didn't finish till about 4:30. And of course, the big contentious item on there has been the sheriff's department study. And so I wanted to get on and talk about that for a little bit. You know, Dr. Alexander Wise is who the county hired to do this study. And I would encourage anyone to go out there and look at any of his other studies, because what you'll find is, and as I questioned him in the county commission meeting, I asked him if this is the same type of conclusions that he usually comes to. And he said, yes, it is. Then I asked him if there was a time when he had not recommended cutting staff. And he acknowledged that there was one time in Illinois that he did not, or maybe Indiana, I might be getting the state wrong, but that he did not recommend them cutting additional staff. So that means in 30 some years, there's one time that he's recommended that they should not cut staff. Well, then it becomes pretty obvious, Kelly, to me, that the county hired this individual to come to the conclusion that he comes to every time he does a study like this. That's certainly not an independent study. It's not a, Kelly, it's a continuation of the escalation that we've been having.
All right, but
let me
just throw out one thing out here. He sounds like the very epitome of a hired gun.
You know, he was, let's see, the sheriff called him, oh boy, now I'm forgetting what the sheriff called him, but basically someone coming in to chop people's heads off. You know, there's a better term for that in business, and I'm drawing a blank. But
an assassin.
Chairman Hancock asked if he'd ever been referred to before as someone coming in just to lay off people, and he acknowledged that that's been a common accusation on him. So, you know, it's not even something that he's pretending. You know, it was very obvious. I mean, it just through questions by the chairman, it was very obvious he came in for this reason.
And I, you know, did the chairman accidentally stumble into the truth or something?
I think so. That was not the answer that he was wanting.
All right. So I see Dr. Alexander Weiss. It's not Wise, though. W-I-S-E.
W-E-I-S-S, I think.
It's pronounced Vice.
Vice.
He has tried to put Kiki in a vice, and Kiki is throwing it off.
Well, you know, in kind of what I wanted to get back to, Kelly, is this whole escalation deal. Because instead of hiring somebody that both parties could agree on, the sheriff and the county could agree on an individual to get an independent assessment, no, we go out and we spend $47,000, Kelly, to put this study together when we already know what the conclusion is that he's going to come up with. And then we run it in front of the commission, and we make a big deal about how the sheriff needs to do things differently about responding to 911 calls. Oh, and I asked about that, Kelly.
Yes.
Dr. Weiss, what should we do about 911 calls? Well, we need to educate people. Okay, so because that is one of the largest number of calls that we get. So in the effort of educating people, especially those of you like me that have young children that like to get our hands on cell phones, there's emergency call buttons, even if it's locked. So please kind of keep that out of your kids' hands. And, you know, we don't want to have those emergency 911 calls when it's not an emergency. But that is not something that the sheriff's department should change responding to. It's important for us to respond to those calls because sometimes it's not an accident.
Well, I see the next publication, Doc. I'm looking at his beautiful website there. The next publication in his future may be How to Die with Dignity.
I'm guessing there's the joke there, Kelly, and I didn't catch it.
911, the problem is hang-ups.
Oh, there we go. There we go. A little slow this morning.
It's all right. But I find it weird. You know, the problem is, and this was said on their report, the problem with the 911s is the hang-ups. So if somebody calls 911 and hangs up, to me, that could be an even worse problem than staying on. I mean, if you can stay on the line, at least you're able to talk into the phone and you know.
Absolutely. And I sit on the MRVDA, which is the Mesilla Valley Regional Dispatch Authority, is the 911 call center here in this area. It covers calls for pretty much all of Doñana County. And I sit on the vice chair of that board. So I get to hear about these things on a regular basis. We do have a lot of false 911 calls. And that does not mean, just as you brought up, though, that we should not be responding to it. At my business, we used to have to dial 9 to get an outside line, and then you dial 1 to get to dial a long-distance number. Well, we changed that at our business, so now we dial 7 to get an outside line. And there's some of those types of things that people can do to help avoid the false 911 calls, because we did have LCPD come by Ross and Builder Supply a couple times because people would dial that 911 by accident. But that's not... So that's part of the conclusion of his report, is that the sheriff's department needs to change the way they're responding to 911 calls. And yet he gave no recommendation of what that change in response should be.
He sounds like a hack.
There we go. Hatchet Man was what the sheriff had called him. And when Wayne Hancock asked if he'd ever been referred to as a hatchet man before, he acknowledged that had been a common accusation.
He's making good money, though.
$47,000 to put together a report and...
He was probably here in the city for two hours.
I think we kept him at the commission meeting much longer than that.
Oh, all right. I was just guessing. Does that include the tab for his mixed drinks at Applebee's? Or?
Oh, boy. You know, it's disappointing that we continue to go through these escalation tactics instead of really trying to resolve the issues. And that's really what bothers me the most, Kelly, is, you know, this battle between the commission leadership and between the sheriff it's bad for our community. And, you know, it's on one side, it's kind of funny. There's some funny aspects to it. You know, the part of the study response was that one of the conclusions that Dr. Weiss came to was stop complaining about being short staffed, which I found was really a funny conclusion, especially since it wasn't the sheriff that first talked about being short staffed. It was the county commission before the sheriff was even an elected sheriff. That was the excuse for having the largest tax increase in the history of Doñana County, was that we needed to get some money for our sheriff's department. And now the commission study is stop talking about that. We already got our tax increase. Be quiet. We want to spend the money on other things. And that's certainly not right, Kelly.
Well, it's the first time that I've ever seen Billy Golden Earring Garrett rattled. He was really, I mean, kind of coming unglued there. And I'm just wondering if we need a mental health, you know, if we need a little knock on the door, see if he's okay.
And I think you played some of that clip yesterday for your listeners.
I did. I was really surprised because Billy Garrett always seems to be under such, you know, he's got such good karma, and I can just kind of visualize him meditating and doing some yoga before all these meetings, and he just seems to have lost it.
You know, a 9-hour meeting will take it out of the best of us. That's for sure. And I'm not, boy, that kind of, I'm not saying that Commissioner Garrett is the best of us. I'm just saying that there's times that it wears everyone thin.
Well, I'm sure it does. Okay, so what we learned from the most recent hatchet job, $48,000 report, is that it's a continuation of the tit for tat. And you have to admit, with the report that's come out, with the IPRA law that was they used to get the information out on the Chris Barilla investigation, and now with this hatchet job, it makes Kiki seem a lot more a lot more credible in some of the things he says.
You know, it certainly has been interesting, Kelly. You know, going back to the Chris Barilla case, I'm glad to see him back on the job. The DA couldn't get anything to stick there, and he needs them.
But the question is, and I don't know, Mark's got an invitation to come on the show and talk about this, how much of the stuff that could have been in the grand jury was brought in there, and how much of it was left out because there wasn't enough of paper trail versus, you know, the time statute of limitations and everything.
You know, since the grand jury is a closed deal, I suppose we'll probably never know if Mark D'Antonio really did his job or not.
That's true.
But, you know, at this point, if Chris Barilla isn't charged with anything, he needs to be back at work. The county paid him for a long paid vacation, although it was certainly it certainly merited with the accusations that came against him. And I'm glad that he's been cleared of any wrongdoing and is back at work. In fact, I'll be over there today, Kelly. The rest of my day will be spent doing a inspection of the detention center.
Do you plan to do an overnight stay?
No. Thank goodness not, Kelly.
Because I hear the one-inch mattresses are actually quite pleasant.
Well, you know, there's certain standards that need to be followed, and I've got a checklist that we'll go through and make sure that we're doing things right. And this has been a common deal. I think I've been in the detention center about 8 or 9 times since
next
I became a commissioner.
Next time, would you call me?
You want to come with?
No, I'll help you get out earlier.
Oh, yeah, there we go. Get bonded out there, huh? No, I think it's really important for commissioners to be involved in the detention center. That's one of the places that in the past we've had a lot of lawsuits coming out of. And so we need to make sure that we're treating people decently, even though they are in there for a reason, Kelly.
Well, I mean, the mistakes are sometimes made, but I am concerned that, you did say it in open, and I always appreciate your transparency and I feel like you try to bring integrity to the county commission and stay above the fray. And you're the only person that when you say something, I always take note of it. I always say, I know I can trust this. I know that you don't go out on a limb and you're always trying to, from my observation, you're always trying to bring some value to your comments and let people know what's really going on.
I appreciate that a lot, Kelly. That means a lot coming from you because I know you pay attention to a lot of the political scene and get to hear and see from different politicians. So that means a lot. But you're right. I do try to be very prepared for the meetings, make sure that I have my comments prepared on certain items. You know, and this was one of the things that came up in this study. So it's a lengthy study that we had. I read it through several times and did some researching on it and found that a good 6 pages of it had been cut and pasted from an article from 3 years ago without proper footnoting, although there are 14 other items that are footnoted through the report. This one wasn't. And
how did you find that? That's very fascinating.
Because I was researching it, Kelly. You know, it's he made some points and he made some allegations that I thought were kind of interesting. And so I went to do some research on it and through some Google searching, and I was able to come up with the article from 2013, an article that's copywritten not by him, but by somebody else. And it's cut and paste 6 pages right into the report.
So how long was the report?
Oh, the report's about 58 pages or something like
that.
Can we
get a 10% discount?
That'd be a pretty good idea. You know, I'm concerned that we would be paying for something that's copywritten by somebody else. And I would point out that Dr. Weiss was a secondary author of that article. Oh. However, he no longer owns the rights to that article. That article is copywritten by the International Police Chiefs Association or something like that.
International House of Police Chiefs.
It's important that we pay the correct person for the product that we're buying.
Well, and it also makes you wonder, I mean, how much real good research is in this thing? If he's cutting and pasting this thing together, it makes it sound like a high school paper.
Well, you know, Kelly, it's funny that you should bring that up, because in the introduction, it talks about DASO is a full-service law enforcement agency providing 24/7 coverage, and it says it's one of several law enforcement agencies in the county, and it lists six other agencies. But that's it. We have many more than six other agencies in here. Of particular interest to me was it completely ignored the New Mexico State University Police Department. They're in my district. They're a law enforcement agency that operates 24/7. Uh-huh. If they weren't even included in the introduction, this.
So this guy is a true hack, and he admits it. Does he laugh about it?
You know, Kelly, he's very professional. It's obvious that he had been questioned similar to the way I questioned him before, and so he did not get rattled or anything like
he's
that.
Not
he kind of rolled with the
He's not professional. He's savvy.
Savvy. Okay. I'll go with that. He knew how to handle the tough questions that I was throwing at him. It was obvious not the first time.
So did O.J. Simpson. All right, folks, let's take a little break here. We got so lucky to have Ben Rossin here. And a continuing salute to this beautiful new program at the county level to get cars into the hands of employees without one penny's cost to the taxpayers. God bless you, Donna Anna. All right, so I'm getting texts. I did find the text machine, and I will tell you, Jess Williams got the largest income increase of anybody in the county, and this is around the time that his car was borrowed by downtown Julia Brown. And so that answers the question, what can Brown do for you? Apparently. But anyway, keep the text coming in. And I've got another text. And the text says, it is still a violation of code of conduct by gaining financial gain on somebody you supervise. JB supervises JW. Check out human resources policy. Even if JW loans his car to her, well, I mean, it's not Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton, but it is a strange employer-employee relationship that we have developing here.
Kelly, I think it is a very interesting situation.
Are they dating? That would be the answer.
Well, I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty confident that's not the case, Kelly.
Well, here's the weird thing. It's like somebody got mad at me because I put the story out there by taking a phone call. I got two phone calls from two separate ladies who claimed that Jess Williams' car was being used by downtown Julia Brown. And then somebody was mad at me because it wasn't commandeered, it was loaned. Which, I mean, okay, there's obviously a difference, you know, when you get arrested for, when you don't. But, I mean, in theory. But I just find the whole thing so weird. I mean, you're making over $100,000. You can't go get an Avis. You can't go down to Borman or Jack Key and say, show me the best thing you got for $3,000. You know, like, anyway, I don't mean to try to grasp at things too large for my cranium. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Kelly, to the listener that texted that in about the HR policy, I'd be grateful if they would like to either text that to me or send me an email and give me the information to go with. My phone number is 575-644-4055.
One more time.
644-4055. And my email address is brawson@donyanacounty.org.
And the first three callers get a free door knocker?
Well, that you need to come to Rawson Builder Supply since we're talking about sponsoring the show. No, I probably shouldn't cross those too closely, but that is my other job there is at Rawson Builder Supply, and we'd be glad to help you out with any door needs you have, Kelly.
All right. So this report, I have had a chance to look at it. The report seems to have a certain number of – we're talking about the utter professionalism of Mr. Vice. And we were talking about the Nazis yesterday, so the you know, Vice fits in there. But I have to ask you, how many points are there in this report? Because it seems like there's a contradiction.
Well, Kelly, before I answer that question, I'm going to encourage all of your listeners, if they want to view the report, and I know I've had a request on Facebook for it to be posted, it is available online at donyanacounty.org/agendas/BOCC, which is Board of County Commissioners. And then you'll see the meeting there, and it's got an agenda packet, and you can open it up and go ahead and get that. Kelly, that was one of my questions to Dr. Weiss. On the PowerPoint presentation he had five conclusion and recommendations. And in the packet, the actual study, he has five, but there's actually six items because he's listed item five twice. So there's actually six different points, and yet on the PowerPoint, there were only five. So it was rather difficult trying to match up his PowerPoint presentation to the actual study that he performed.
Did he drop a beat behind it while he was presenting it, kind of rap style?
It was disappointing, Kelly. You know, throughout here, I've already mentioned the limited law enforcement agencies that were even researched. When it came through to the number of calls, 911 calls, he's got the commas in the wrong place. I mean, it's just proofreading stuff that you would not expect to be a problem in a document you're paying $47,000 for, especially given that this individual is a professor.
I wonder how much time he actually spent on this.
Well, not much on pages 10 through 16. That cut and paste, I don't think, took much time at all, Kelly.
Did he spell Donyana correctly?
I did not notice any incorrect spellings on Donyana, so that's good.
All right. So you're concerned, all joking aside, you're concerned that it's not just tit for tat. It's not just a power struggle. It is actually something that is costing the commission a lot of money to make very dubious points. We had an investigation into Kiki that went nowhere. It was very expensive. We also had a report that is plagiarized to the extent that it is original. It is incorrect in many points. And we paid almost $50,000 for that. And then I see Commissioner Billy Goldenear and Garrett apoplectic on the TV screen, almost turning blue with fury that his reputation and his honor is being taken into what would Chairman Hancock do without the leadership of Billy Garrett? I mean, the whole enterprise would fall apart.
Well, Kelly, I do want to do one little legal correction there. You talked about it being plagiarism. I think since Dr. Weiss was a secondary author on the report, it probably wasn't plagiarism, but it certainly is copyright infringement because he no longer owns the rights to those six pages that he cut
point.
And pasted.
That's a good point.
But, I mean, regardless, it's the wrong thing to do. So, but, you know, one of the recommendations that he has in here is his recommendation number two, the DASO. I would think it'd just be DASO, uses an inefficient work schedule. As we've demonstrated, 10-hour work schedules significantly reduce efficiency because they require more officers and because the overlap times do not match the workload. We recommend the agency either adopt an 8 or 12-hour work schedule. Well, Kelly, I got two problems with that. One is the county commission is not allowed to dictate how the sheriff runs his department. The sheriff was duly elected by the people of Doñana. Even if I didn't vote for him, he was duly elected. And it's his determination how to run the department, not the county commission's. So if we go to an 8 or a 12-hour work schedule, what happens there when the officer is coming in at the end of his shift and filling out paperwork? So there's going to be no overlap now. So that means that there is nobody out on the streets during a shift change.
I talked to some of the sheriffs, and they were just astounded by this idea that, you know, we've already got people that are way into overtime. This individual comes in, files this report and says, you're not doing enough overtime. You're not doing enough long shifts. And you've got a hostage crisis at your house. Do you want someone who's totally sleep deprived to show up?
No.
Do we want cops falling asleep and choking on donuts?
Well, you know, Kelly, part of it is just making sure that we have sheriff's deputies out in the field to respond to a crisis. And if we have a zero overlap where there's, you know, at 4 p.m., the one shift comes back into the office and the other shift starts. Well, when those deputies come back into the office, and Kelly, I've done two ride-alongs to see what this is like, but they have to do paperwork. So they come in, they file their reports and things like that. So when does that get done? Does that mean they come in at 3 o'clock to file their reports and nobody is out in the field from 3 till 4?
It depends if they're allowed to plagiarize from their last report.
What happens to the deputy that's up in Hatch? What time do you want him coming back to Doñana County? What time do you want his replacement heading up there?
All right. So the answer to the problems is that we've got too many 911 call hangups and that these sheriffs are not on a shift. That cannot possibly be the answer to our problems.
No, but it is an answer for telling the sheriff that he doesn't need any more money and stop complaining about being short-staffed, even though the commission is the one that initially brought that up to make the excuse for the largest tax increase in the history of Doñana County.
That's sad. Now, what did Billy Goldenearing get upset about when he – because I saw the clip, but I didn't see how he was insulted to get in a rage.
You know, and for all your listeners, Kelly, if you go onto the DoñanaCounty.org website on the top right hand, there's a link to the BOCC videos, and you could watch the entire meeting if you so desire. But I think one of the things that got him upset was a sheriff's deputy that came up and I can't remember the exact words, but told him to get off his throne and come down and do a ride along and see how life really works out on the streets, something like that.
And for a hippie, that probably didn't go over too well.
You know, it probably was not a very respectful thing to say one way or the other, but it certainly got his ire up. I think the deputy made it is important for us to see what's going on with the people we supervise, especially when we're making a determination on what their staffing level is.
What if Billy was to do an inspection of the entire county on a motorcycle that was based on the one that they used in Easy Rider with a red, white, and blue gas tank?
Well, I just wonder if he'd be more comfortable on the bus system than he would on the sheriff's vehicle.
It could turn into a situation. What's the movie with Keanu Reeves where the bus is taken over? And anyway, all right. So Kelly O'Connell, we've got Ben Ross in here. It's just like old times. It feels great. AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB. 523-1450 and send your text in if you have a little tidbit. And Billy, get off that throne. Come on. And don't forget to flush. We'll be right back. All right, so Kelly here and got Ben Rossin in the studio. All right, Ben, so we got a lot of things that are kind of moving around out there. We've got conflict between the sheriff's office and the county commission. We've got back and forth. What else is going on?
Well, you know, Kelly, I want to talk about that just a little bit more, because unfortunately it's taken way too much of the media and the attention on what's going on in Doñana County. And it's been a real negative thing. We need to focus on getting this resolved. And Kelly, it's a real simple way to resolve it. The chairman needs to meet with the sheriff one-on-one. They need to lock the door, come to an agreement on some of these things, and move forward.
Two men go in, one man comes out, kind of a meeting?
I think a lot can be resolved if people will just talk to each other. At our previous county commission meeting, we talked about arbitration and some of the different processes for arbitration. And of course, Kelly, you probably know this better than I do, but they come up with a list of arbitrators, and then each side eliminates one arbitrator till you get down to a neutral party.
Mm-hmm.
And if that would have been done, this $47,000 study, Kelly, could have been really valuable to Doñana County.
Mm-hmm.
But that wasn't the goal that the county had in hiring this individual. They hired the individual for a defined outcome that he normally comes up with. And that doesn't help anything. If we're really going to solve this problem, we've got to have some communication take place. And it sure doesn't help that the chairman, Wayne Hancock, refuses to meet with the sheriff. But Kelly, that being said, the sheriff, not to be outdone, refuses to meet with Wayne Hancock. So this is not a one-sided deal, and it is hurting our community in great ways. You asked about what else is going on, and that's what we ought to be really being able to focus on. And it's things like what's going on down in Santa Teresa. You know, Kelly, we've got a new company coming into Santa Teresa that is opening up a 300,000 square foot facility down there. A little known company some people may have heard of called FedEx. They're moving their main facility from El Paso into Santa Teresa. We've got excellent opportunities in Santa Teresa to be doing things. And yet we're spending way too much time and energy on this fight, people that won't talk to each other.
Well, let's get them together. I'll offer my own mediation services. I'm totally unbiased.
Totally unbiased.
I'll do it for free.
You know, I think, Kelly, that you would probably be struck by one of those individuals. But we need to be working that route instead of, you know, the county hires somebody. The next step will be the sheriff will hire his own consultant to come up with his own study. And all we're doing is wasting the taxpayers' money, and we're not doing what we were elected to do. And that's really what I feel the problem is here, Kelly, is that we're elected to run this county, and we need to be doing that, not having a pissing match with other elected officials.
Yes, indeed. Oh, we've got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Letty.
Letty, thanks for calling in. What's up?
I just wanted to give my opinion. I think they ought to let the sheriff do his job. That's what he was elected for. And to my opinion, I think they want to have him like a puppet. And he's not a puppet. I don't think so. And I think they're barking on the wrong tree. You know, they ought to leave that sheriff to do his job.
All right. Well, how are they stopping the sheriff from doing his job for the sake of informing people?
Okay, just all this that is going on, you know, in quest that they got in on him, you know, let him do his job. Let him see if he does a good job, which I think he does. You know, that's my opinion. But, you know, if they want to treat him like a puppet, I don't think you can do that.
Well,
you know,
I mean,
the other chef,
yeah, go ahead. Well, for heaven's sakes, Billy Garrett's already got a puppet.
Yeah, but they want to get another puppet.
Yeah.
And I don't think Sheriff's going to do that song, you know, I'm your puppet. I don't think he's going to go for that.
I've actually got that queued up right here. If we can just...
Yep.
This ain't Kiki, though, huh?
No, that's not Kiki. They're fucking the wrong tree. Let him do his job. And you know what?
All right. So no more puppetry.
No more puppetry. And you know what? And, you know, I take my vote from Hancock. You know, like, you know, they ought to spend the money on what they said or give it back. And I want my vote back from it.
All right.
Thank you.
Letty, if I could weigh in, this is Commissioner Ben Rawson. I think that you were at the commission meeting, and I appreciate you coming and speaking at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
And, you know, there's a point that you made about elections, and I think that's one of the challenges that Chairman Hancock has. Is he does not believe that elections have consequences. And we see that same thing between the sheriff here, and he wants to be in charge of that department. And we see the same thing in the bus system, because the voters here in Doñana County turned down that bus system by over 15%. And yet Chairman Hancock has funded that bus system out of the county to provide that, even though the voters said no. And he has a real hard time listening to the voters.
Yes, sir. And that's why we need to make a change. We need to go out and vote. This is for all Doñana voters. Go out and vote so they can do the will of the people.
Letty, do you have a candidate that you like?
No. Also, you know, I'm going for Solis. I think she, you know, she's there for some reason. And the reason is I think she will, you know, listen to the people.
She was good on the show. Plus, when I asked her if the county manager took her car, what she would do, tried to take her car, she said, I'll take her out. And I was impressed by that.
Yeah, you know, it's like me. They asked me yesterday, because yesterday I called. And I said, no, she's just a bully.
Bully. Yeah, that's sad. All right, Letty, anything else?
No, sir. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, too. Okay, folks, and we do have a dedication here. All right, and Ben Rossini has to leave.
I'm going to head over to the detention center and do another part of my job, Kelly.
Enjoy your overnight. Okay, so this dedication goes out to the former chairman, Billy Garrett, Golden Earring. Don't try to turn Kiki into a puppet. All right, so we just finished up with Ben Rawson, who was kind enough to come in this morning, and he's going to be sponsoring the show again, doing the Rawson Report, and also sponsoring it with Rawson Builder Supplies, so we're grateful for that. All right, so we get information on this report that came out, the Weiss Report, that it was a general hit job, according to Ben Rawson, that part of it was either plagiarized or borrowed from another report, which just leaves a kind of bad taste in the mouth. And it cost almost $50,000 and is totally unnecessary. And Ben is saying He's blaming both sides. He's blaming Kiki and the sheriff's department. He's blaming the county commission, Billy Garrett. But, you know, Billy is no longer the chairman, although they say he has an extraordinary amount of influence over Wayne Hancock, who is, according to some people, his puppet. But anyway, I think, you know, we need to, if possible, I agree with Ben, we need to figure out how to ratchet it down a little bit. And there have been so many twists and turns in this whole thing. Now, we also do have confirmation that the car was borrowed from the county manager to one of the employees, that she did borrow that car. And I think in a normal, and I believe she's military, so I don't think that would fly at all in the military, but in a normal business situation, that would not be allowed because of undue influence and all these other things, taking advantage of the position and everything. So, county manager, give that car back. Come on now. You've had it for, a couple of years now? So, Jess has got to be tired of hitchhiking. All right, so I had mentioned earlier there is a lot of heroin in this, state, and that one of the other articles that I was looking at, I mean, the amount of heroin is doubled in production, and it's really has hit New Mexico hard in the past and is still hitting us pretty hard. If you have any stories that you'd like to share, any people that you've known or any knowledge that you have about this, feel free to call in tomorrow or 523-1450. You can call in today, but we're running out of time. But it is kind of sad to hear about that, but it's a problem that's sweeping across the United States and is deeply embedded in a lot of these smaller communities in places like Vermont, West Virginia, Ohio. I mean, you name it. And, they said that there are, 28 people a day dying in Ohio of heroin overdoses. I mean, that's a very high number. So now, Ted Cruz has taken on Carly Fiorino as his number two, bizarrely. We do have a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Hey there, Kelly O. How you doing, guy?
Hey.
Top of the Thursday to you.
Frankie, what's up?
Well, I just wanted to, you were just a beautiful segue. You were just beginning to talk about it. And this Cruz guy and his pick of Fiorina has got to be a brand new plot line for some brand new science fiction kind of horror drama.
Hey,
I mean, I can't
Frankie,
he could pick such a person and expect that he's going to get.
I know. It's crazy. Do you accept my explanation that it's comfort food, that somehow she's a mother figure, she's somebody he feels very comfortable around and he just chose her, you know, like a dog has to always lay on the same blanket or, you know what I'm saying?
I think that's a passable explanation. I think, you know, legitimately he picked her because she appeals to the real hardcore evangelical radical type.
I don't even know,
you know,
if she appeals
with this Planned Parenthood thing.
Who does she appeal to? And she's not even on the screen. If he wanted to make a power move, you get Kasich or you get Marco Rubio to come on. You don't get somebody with one delegate.
We're on the same sheet of music here.
Yeah.
He picked her specifically for the reason I said, and also I think, you know, he says, well, look at this. Look, I picked a woman, so we're going to have a woman VP thing. So he's playing the female vote thing, which
that
also goes to,
awful.
You know, he's trying to fuck the female vote thing.
It's a crock, but he's in hospice and he's getting married. He's talking about his future family. It's crazy.
It is. I mean, it's all nuts, though. I mean, I the smarter pundit types out there, you know, I'm just waiting for tonight, you know, as they try to analyze this, they're trying to figure out where in the world is he coming from. Not that I'm any kind of a Cruz supporter or even if
I understand,
but this is absolutely nuts.
To me, she's chive flavored Pringles. I mean, she's a comfort food and he's going to go down eating his favorite food. But anyway, we've got to go. Frankie, thanks for the call.
Okay. All right.
Have a great day. All right. Bye-bye. Frankie always calls in at the last minute. That's because he enjoys the show so much and he doesn't want it to end. Speaking of comfort food, Kelly O'Connell, 7:59 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450. And take out a little puppetry salute here. Get your own puppets out there, Billy Garrett, Mr. Golden Earring. Have a great day. See you back in 22 hours. Ciao. Your every wish is mine.